The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Upgrade your tool storage for the new year with help from Menards. For heavy-duty storage that protects your tools, choose Masterforce. From shelving units to cabinets and so much more, you can keep your tools safe and within reach. Get versatile and durable storage from Masterforce today. Check out all our Masterforce storage in-store or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Hello, my little chillin' Menards.
Welcome back.
It's different. I got a different pop filter now, so it's not. I can't get as close as I once was.
I promise you that you're still vibrating.
Yeah,
my
I'm still right in your
inner
ear. Perfect. Yeah, welcome back to Minnesota 148. I think might be 147, somewhere out there. How are you boys doing? It's been a couple weeks.
I'm doing
worse
great.
Now. That intro still is jarring.
I'm thinking about earwax right now. I'm thinking about like, am I of the age that I need to go get my earwax pulled out of my ears? And I'm like, yeah, ooh. I think so. I don't know.
Well, you're probably like a kindly old man.
Yeah.
Just like suck it out with a straw?
Let me just get in there. It's like a little metal hoop. I don't really know. I've only seen it in videos. I don't know why I'm talking about this. We're getting older, folks. The old Chilluminati podcast.
I stretched today and it gave me a stomach ache for 30 minutes.
I absorb your youth and I shall live forever.
Jesse, so when we all die, are you going to keep Chilluminati going?
Oh, no. I'll have moved on to a different name. Yeah. I'll be a totally different person.
Oh yeah,
I'll
right, right. Jessimus J. Combs.
Yeah, he's like that surgeon from the X-Files who like goes from practice to practice, sucking up everybody's magic energy.
Oh, you spoiled an episode for me.
That's all right. You won't remember.
That's true. I won't. Yeah. It's true. It'll be gone by tonight. Welcome to the Minnesota, everybody. Jesse, I want to start with you, man. What do you got? What are you bringing us today,
gentlemen? All of Neptune's clouds have vanished.
What? What does that mean?
And scientists think the sun is to blame. That's right. The clouds around the solar system's eighth and for some reason final planet, sorry Pluto.
Damn.
Our most distant planet, located roughly 2.8 billion miles or 4.5 billion kilometers from the sun, all the clouds began fading in 2019 and were totally gone without a trace in 2020. Even now, 4 years later from 2019, the most recent images that we have taken in this past June still show the clouds haven't returned to their former levels, said Arandi Chavez, a graduate student at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics, who led a study about this whole thing at UC Berkeley. And then went on to say, this is extremely exciting and unexpected, especially since Neptune's previous period of low cloud activity was not nearly as dramatic or prolonged. So, spoiler, this happens all the time. That's just a sensational headline to get everyone's attention. Happens all the time because Neptune's clouds aren't Earth clouds. They're basically frozen methane strands.
Okay, wait. I have some like logistical questions that I need you to help me settle really quick. Neptune, unless I'm like, I've lost it. It's a gas giant, isn't it?
It's one of the big boys on the outside.
It's a big blue boy, right?
Yes.
Neptune's a big... I don't know what color it is. Who knows what color is in space?
Bluish-ish.
Big blue boy. But it's made of gas entirely. So when we're saying the clouds disappear...
So, like, you know how if you look at...
Isn't it just all cloud?
No, it is not one big cloud.
Oceans
of methane and like there's like crazy shit on it because it's also very cold.
So we're just in Gooptopia, is what we're saying.
Yeah, we're in full Gooptopia. You would not like it there at all.
A gaseous world. I'm flying. I'm in VR. I love it. It's all good.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. All right.
Again, if anyone knows more about Neptune than me, please let me know.
I've been sitting here this whole time just turning it over in my mind, trying to picture what it would look like if the clouds went away on a gas giant. And I'm like, it's still just gas.
What is the surface of Neptune like? It's all blue, isn't it?
Is there like a little rock that you see? Is it just like a little tiny rock in the middle that you see when the clouds get blown away?
The Neptune surface, Neptune, it does not have a solid surface, apparently. The atmosphere is made up of hydrogen, helium, and methane, extends to great depths, gradually merging into water and other melted ices over a heavy, solid core. So, yeah, it is. Could you stand on the surface? No, you could not stand on the surface.
All right, hot take. The aliens are from Neptune.
Maybe. Hey, maybe. That's actually what I'm talking about today. Surprise, surprise. A little alien update.
Aliens being from Neptune?
Yeah, that's it, actually.
But basically, the sun goes through warming cycles, which is always one of those things that you hear sort of anti-climate change people talk about, where it's like, it's just the warming cycle. But the thing is, it does it every roughly 11 years. So it isn't like 1,000 years.
It's not like this.
Yeah. And so currently right now, it is in an active rising state. And so every 11 years or so, it gets very, very hot and then cools back down. And apparently, scientists thought the highest point would be in 2025. But now they're rethinking it that maybe it's actually this year. And the math is just off a little bit because the sunspots increasing and the, you know, like the UV it's putting off and all sorts of, it's just like way higher than it's ever been. At least, you know, in the cycle, right? I'm sure there are times in the past where it's been higher than it is currently, but they're like, oh damn, this is pretty wild. So it's all of that that melted away the methane ice clouds, which is why they don't exist anymore. But they'll come back, is the idea. Yeah,
they always come back. They just gotta get the fifth element, bring it back to the temple, love.
Yeah. The thing that I think is interesting about this, the reason why I wanted to share it, is because it's straight up just us on Earth monitoring the climate of another planet. And that's crazy when you think about it.
That's
so
like
I love
Enterprise
that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that's the USS Enterprise, yeah.
Doesn't really mean anything for us at all, but it's fascinating to watch Earthlings be like, what's going on over on Neptune, considering how far away it is? And, you know, it's a planet we can never actually just hang out on.
That's why we here at patreon.com/Chilluminati Pod always like to say, hey, keep dreaming, kids.
Yeah, always dream.
That's exactly what we say. Keep dreaming, kids.
Keep on dreaming, children.
And then we finger gun.
Keep dreaming, kids.
Yeah.
You ready for a little bit of an alien update, butter gentlemen? Not a little. There's a lot been going on.
I'm always ready. Are we going to talk about MH370?
You know a piece of what we're going to say today, because we brought up in text the other night. But yeah, the entire world after the Congress was exciting until they immediately denied them a SCIF hearing. And beyond that, a particular individual by the name of Mike Turner, who is the congressman for the 10th District of Ohio, has put a kibosh on any future hearings, period.
Hey, can I give you a spoiler? Spoiler. Hey, you know what's in the 10th District?
Yeah, I know what's in the 10th District, but go ahead and blow people's minds.
Wright-Patterson Air Force Base, which I know that because I used to live very close, and my mom used to work at Wright State. So, like, I know all about
it. I'm about to blow y'all's minds.
Not only that,
minds.
Like... Yeah, please go ahead. Blow more mind.
I just mean later. You'll see later.
Oh, okay, got you.
But for people who are like, what does that mean, Wright-Patterson Air Force Base? That's like
where
the rumors is they took all the saucers and the aliens and stuff was to Wright Pat.
Real
talk.
So
on top of that, go ahead, Alex.
I just said real talk. I was just kind of like hype manning like a 2000s hip hop track. Hell yeah.
He's not allowing any more hearings. He said, and basically the reason he gave is it would do irreversible damage to the Department of Defense and like military.
Like,
and it's like,
what the hell
saying
does
that
mean?
Out loud doesn't make it any better, nor does it make me think that it's worth keeping secret. Now it's definitely worth putting out there. If our government is doing stuff with our tax money, that would damage the reputation of what they already have a shit reputation.
But that's the catch 22 is like, does he mean damage in the sense that its reputation will be damaged because of this absolute clown show of an investigation, or does it mean damaged in the sense that actual information will be released that we are in fact, you know, researching alien craft and reverse engineering the technology. Like, what does, like, it can be interpreted both ways.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's, I think it would be like, not the stupid hearings, but I think they're, even if it's not aliens, they're doing shit they shouldn't be. And that's, they don't want, they likely don't want oversight. And like, they're just, even if it's just military tech that they're the fucking testing yeah. and they don't, that's the thing. Like, then, like, I stand with, we still need to know, even if it's not aliens, even if it's our government being assholes and just using our money and hiding their programs, then we need to know, fuck the right. reputation. The government works for the people, not the other way around. Or supposed to.
If he came out and he was like, this is because of some competition that we have with Russia and China, and if we investigate into this further, it will compromise our national security, like XYZ. In that case, I would be like, touche. Okay. Well, yeah. you know, like, maybe we'll find out more about this later, but what the fuck does that mean? But the reason it's frustrating mm-hmm. is because there's this, like, razzle-dazzle around it. It's like, extra carefulness to like have yeah. plausible deniability
to deny them the skiff meeting yeah. and that's not like it wasn't Republicans or Democrats, it was both, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez would have been in there with Matt Gates and a few yeah. others.
I mean the, yeah, just the verbiage and the reasoning in general is just like actually like enigmatic on purpose to fuck with you.
And to like even make it more like frustrating for people like me anyway, obviously none of the media is going to cover that. Mike Turner's like, no more meetings, no more. It's just not going to be talked about. It's just going to be kind of left to be forgotten again. And then there's shit like I texted you guys last couple weeks where like I said, when the stuff came out, keep your eye out. Hoaxes are going to be everywhere.
Sure.
And I watched the fucking UFO and alien subreddit. And y'all, if you listen to this, y'all fucking joke. I cannot believe there was 3 weeks wasted on this fucking plane that showed three orbs go around it and make it disappear. And there was 3 weeks of them obsessing over this obvious CGI thing until somebody came around like 2 days ago and was like, here's the footage, here's this. Oh,
yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, no fucking shit. But like, there's no one's talking about the meetings being canceled. Nobody's talking about anything else. They're obsessed with this clear fucking fake. And that's the issue with these people, is like, you get hooked on anything that looks insane instead of just sticking with what's happening now.
It's not just UFOs. It's everyone who gets caught up in a moment. A great example of that is over the past weekend here in LA, we had a hurricane. I use air quotes because for me, it was sunny
most
of the
day. It was a hurricane.
It missed my area of the city by a lot.
It was hot and wet for me, but it was not scary.
Yeah, like it was not as bad as it was. However, all day on social media, pictures of flooding and of like crazy winds and stuff. Thankfully, I don't know who's doing the actual work over at X or Reddit or whatever the hell, but all of it was being debunked. It was like, this is from 2019 or this is from this thing and this didn't happen. And I'm so glad people did that because so many people were just posting stuff to rile up other people, and people were buying in and retweeting it and reading all this. And it's just like,
it's that mob mentality. There's no thought. They just accept. And I'm like, I am in the world of aliens, man. I get it. I am an advocate for one of the most, like, you know, fucking weird things to try and prove exists ever. But you have to be able to look at a fucking plane vanish in thin air and go, that's kind of weird. Let's look into this a little
bit. Ask yourself this question, right? Okay, let's take
And people were like, man, they were talking about it was maybe bad. They could be kidnapped. I'm like, oh, my God.
Just take the opportunity for, like, this take the MH370 thing off the table, right? Let's say you're Grush, let's say, and you're like, I have information about like government working on alien tech,
that's
hiding it
right.
from the government.
That was the other rumor, right? Is Grush leaked it. And I'm like you guys like, are
but
idiots.
Like let's just say you're Grush. Is yeah. your ideal launch point for this information gonna be r/UFOs, honestly?
Right, like, exactly. Like, yes. Exactly.
Like maybe the problem is that r/UFOs is just a fandom, and that, you know,
it is,
the real stuff's happening, you know, in the news, in government, in places where people are actually putting in effort and doing research.
Like researching the meteorite from another fucking star system. Like there's so many real things you can
work. I had fun reading about fucking Malaysia Flight 370 some more. I had fun entertaining this rumor for a while.
But they have physical evidence of the crash.
But that's what I'm saying.
The plane.
I just had fun reading about it, but I didn't feel like I was solving the mystery of aliens. Like, if you're gonna...
I think that got me closer to giving up on aliens than the government shit the past few months. Just watching these people.
Just don't take the UFO fandom as the state of American idea, like the American sentiment on UFOs.
It is the exact same thing as when, well, this guy who works in the government, who is trying to take down the deep state, came here to a random forum and decided to, like, leak it here to all of us because we're going to take down... Like, bro, if you had that information... You'd go to the world. You wouldn't be, like, this very small corner of the internet.
I'd go to Interpol. Yeah, like FBI. Like, everywhere.
Yeah.
To the top.
I think the reason it's even more infuriating for me is because, like, 3 months ago, Corridor Crew, the YouTube channel, they created a fake UFO thing, posted it on Reddit to see if it would fool people. It did. And then made a whole video about it. I'm like, and it was another one of those. I'm like, that can't be real. And it's like another one of those. I'm like, you guys didn't learn your lesson. Because even in my conspiracy thought is Corridor Crew was like, and they at the end of that video said, we're going to do it again at some point in the future. And I'm like, you fuckers should be on high alert. You should be looking for everything that should be fake. And watching a plane fucking vanish in thin air should be every red flag. But like, no, the red flags are instead saved for like the government stuff.
Just entertain the idea of it.
Yeah, if you're doing any real research, step one would have been, okay, this was recorded where?
Yes.
What planes were in the area? Did any of those planes vanish? Like, that's 1, 2, 3. That's the easy.
I saw comments. People thought it was a 360-degree like future satellite got that image.
It was supposed to be MH370.
Yes, it was supposed to be like a plane that we have wreckage of.
The Malaysian flight that went missing.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And I just think like the thing that the litmus test for this stuff is like, all right, let's imagine you're the foremost expert on this. Okay. Let's imagine you know everything there is to know about aircraft to aircraft imaging or whatever. Like you see this footage of these three balls orbiting this plane and the plane disappears, right? What do you
think? The most fucking like,
what would you do if you were the expert? What would you do? You'd be like, hey, like, like every scientist, every law enforcement, this is crazy. Ah, like the news, everyone, somebody has to know. That's what I would do, right? But that is not what happened here. You know what I mean?
No.
Same thing.
No, it did not. They thought that Grush leaked it because the YouTube channel it showed up on had leaked, quote unquote, a 1940s World War II video. And there was a voice like narrating it. And people think the voice belongs to Grush. Therefore, Grush must have leaked that video. And then the next video that came up was also UFOs. So it's also got to be Grush. And I'm like, you guys are just doing so much more damage than actual like at helping. You just undo so much work.
Man, this is like thematically giving me the Department of Truth again. You guys got to check out that comic if you haven't. It is so seriously, so seriously pertinent to this discussion exactly. And also, Mathis, you got to watch Asteroid City. I don't know if you have or not yet.
Okay.
But if you haven't.
No, I've never heard of it.
It's that new Wes Anderson movie that has like a bunch of twee indie vibes to it, but you got to watch it. No spoilers. Don't spoil it. Let's watch it on Rotten Popcorn really soon. I think it would be great. Anyway, who wants to learn about the green stone?
Me.
I mean, I always do.
Who's
so
ready?
Bring it on.
For the Giuseppe.
I'm not
LaRosa.
Ready, but I want to learn.
Is that going to be the live show in Indianapolis? Is going to be a green stone special?
No,
you can't do that.
Not.
You can't do that.
No, it's not. Giuseppe La Rosa and the Order of Meonia: The Seven Rings of the Wraiths, Part One. Get ready. This is a continuation of a story from the previous minisode based mostly on the book Chronicles of Meonia by Giuseppe La Rosa, psychic adventurer. So if you want the whole thing, go back and start in minisode number 133. We've been going for some time now to get here. Last time we endured a roller coaster of emotions along with old Giuseppe, possibly Giuseppe the Meek, possibly Giuseppe the Dedicated but Misunderstood, possibly both. And in the course of teaming up with his wife to complete a solo mission test trial thing, he and almost everyone else in the group, except for fucking Janet for some reason, failed. And though maybe he did actually maybe solve the mystery of the Tower Hotel, maybe, according to the ghost, maybe he did. Regardless of whether he
ghost
did or not.
Lie.
Yeah, he did for sure miss the meeting where it counted. And he like also blew up at his wife and they had a kind of like sort of tension over his membership in this group. And Janet, even though she passed her test, which we don't even know what the test was, even though she passed it, she didn't want to cross the bridge to Excalibur alone. So they just sort of like forgot about that. Moved on. I don't know. That was the end of the chapter. I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yep.
It was a dark time for Giuseppe, but they just kind of moved. The group as a whole just kind of moved on from the whole thing. I think they're still on the sword thing. We'll get to that in a minute, but I don't know what happened with that first sword. I don't know if we're going to come back to that. It was just weird. They were just like, all right, well, I guess we're just going to like get some rest then. I don't know. Anyway, it's months later now, and though a few minor things have kicked up since then, the only real major sea change is that Alan... from the group first exchange stones with Marion because Graham got a message that actually Alan should have the green stone and Marion should have the purple stone. So that's the first
I feel like
thing.
I need to be taking notes.
Well, there's a problem.
Actually, I would say it's better to just ride the waves, my friend. So now Alan has the green stone, Marion has the purple stone, and then after that, Alan has to leave the group altogether for unexplained reasons. So he leaves the group and ends up leaving the green stone with Terry's friend who we mentioned like way earlier, I think in like the original green stone episodes, Penny Blackmore, who was a medium. So now she has the green stone. And apparently, while the green stone was in her possession, she recently witnessed it change both in size and shape to a larger, almost like a Koopa shell size.
Let's
and
go.
She stuffs it into a brown envelope.
I love that
envelope.
She lost it and was like, it's this now.
Yeah, she was like, what the fuck? And so she mails it to Terry Shotton, and it's like, get it to Terry Shotton in case something happens to me.
Oh my God.
Now we're on the second Thursday of April in, I think, 1983, maybe 1984.
The green stone has completely changed to a different stone.
It's morphed. Some activity has occurred, and it is now larger. For now.
Well, of course.
For now. They met on the second Thursday of April, 1983. They met to discuss what happened with the stone. And as usual, Joe sort of gripes about having to come. Kind of implies that he is very busy and doesn't have a lot of time for this stuff, but that he's like committed now because of probably what happened last time where he like his marriage was damaged by this. But weirdly, Graham shows up also with a new girl, Cheska Potter, who he brings
like
to the clubhouse. And he says, I just sensed she would gel really well with the group. So she starts talking to everybody, gels in really good with everybody. And then he gets up and makes an announcement to the entire room, which I'm going to have Mathis read for us right
now.
Yeah,
let's do it.
Here we go.
I have been informed that there is another sword which we have to get, a sword that is believed to be Guevara's. But in order to prove who we are, that we are the legitimate inheritors of the sword, there is something that we have to do. We have been called here tonight to try to obtain certain objects. These artifacts are seven rings that have been placed in the graveyard of evil souls. They could have tried a little bit better with that, like, the name
these
we just
ring wraiths, if you will.
The ring wraiths in the graveyard of evil souls.
Yeah, come on, it's time. What are you talking about?
Like lightning strike, bats fly away.
Come on, have you seen the new Smurfs game? It's about the green stone.
This is a place that lies beyond this physical reality, beyond time and space. So that's the best name you had for a graveyard beyond time and space is the Graveyard of Evil. I'm sorry.
Didn't get to make the name. That's what it's actually called on the astral plane.
Sure. It's a descriptor.
Sorry,
dude.
You're right. I'm sorry.
It's a term that we don't have a word for in English, so it's translated simply.
Yeah. These rings were put there to stop them falling into the wrong hands. This is more like Captain Planet than like Lord of the Rings. Especially those who had occult knowledge and were of the dark side. We need to obtain these rings to get the sword.
It's a little convoluted.
Tonight is the night when we have to call on the spectral forms of the dead to bring the rings to us. It is a very dangerous undertaking that we have been given to do. In order to protect us from any danger, the Green Stone has been brought here. Because Alan is no longer with us, Cheska here is going to take his place tonight and hold the stone.
So this obviously took everyone by surprise, especially Cheska. And I don't know, I'm not trying to put the bad voodoo vibes on Graham. I don't want him to like, I don't want to poison your image of him, but it kind of feels like he brought this girl to like impress her in some way.
Impress her?
Yeah, like just like a weird
It's like
vibe.
When, you know, your D&D group's like DM gets a girlfriend like well into the campaign and she joins and she's got way better gear and she's... Yes, she's the forgotten queen of elves.
She has the MacGuffin in her inventory. Yeah, it's like one of those things.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so I don't know if that's what's going on here, but I just have to be honest, as the researcher, I have the vibe.
The vibes are there.
But then before anybody got to discuss that, Graham got really quiet and he made a point to ask Marion to get up out of her seat and sat down in it instead and went into a trance. And when he looked up again, he was whispering in the voice of Raymond, their spirit guide, who was once a member of the Order himself. And Jesse will read Raymond's words for you now.
This is Raymond. I have come to aid you in your task. You have to try to obtain the Seven Rings tonight. It is a very dangerous task, as you have been told. They are guarded by the spirits of the evil dead. The only thing that will appease them is the wooden chalice. Is it here?
And then Marion realizes, like, shit, I did not bring the chalice. But Raymond was calm. That's how you know this is real, because if it wasn't real, they would just have it, right? You know what I mean? Like, they would just have remembered it in the real story.
Sure. Yeah, no, I get it. Yeah.
But Raymond was calm, Raymond was reassuring, and he goes on. So this is some more for Jesse to read.
It will be as it will be. You will have to call on them without it and face them as best you can. Do not worry. I will be here. And, if necessary, I will come through Graham again if you need help. Graham must be himself when you first call the race, for the Witch King of Angmar is coming for you. We'll need all the help that you can get. You must all sit around a table and seal yourselves. This is done by placing a circle of salt around the area that you are sitting in. The circle is your protection, and I warn you now, on no account must the circle of salt be broken, for there could be a shadow creature outside, like in Lost. Watch out for that. For there could be a dire consequences if this should occur. As I have said before, not Penny's boat. I will be close at hand to help if needs be. Now, I will go. Good luck.
And with that, they got to work. Which we will find next week on the minisode.
Oh, sure.
With the beginning of the next exciting phase. Seven Rings. Well, it's the second episode. Seven Rings of the Race. Yeah.
Seven Subtitle, Rings.
Jacob
the
is
going to
show up in this next one because I'm really excited about that. Do you think Ben and Jacob have a history?
Ooh, I think they do, genuinely.
They might.
I think Jacob and Ben. Do. I think Jacob let Ben down. That's my feeling. Here's what I'm going to say. This is like... This little shorty boy right now, it's like Werewolf at Night. It's like a one-off Marvel thing. Like, we'll be back to the, like, Moon Knights and Hawkeyes of the world later, but this one's like a quickie. So,
Does this matter to the overall canon of the story?
Yeah, like, the last
one
was...
Will this affect us in the future?
So this last one, the one before this, where he gets in the fight with his wife, that's Werewolf at Night, Werewolf by Night, and this one is the Guardians of the Galaxy Kevin Bacon Christmas.
Right. Okay. All right. Where we discover, you know, like relatives and stuff.
It's hard to know what an MCU is actually going to count toward canon anymore anyway. Let's be real.
Everything, bro. It's like the Nier games. Dude, everything.
There's no canon.
There's
now.
No stopping
it's
Gaia,
canon.
Dude. She's too powerful.
Yeah. Patreon.com/Illuminati Pod, the greatest website of all time.
Bye.
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 The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place, so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month, so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Hello, my little children. Welcome. Welcome back. Minisode number 150.
Minisode 150, everybody.
How? Welcome, Jim! I'm just kidding.
I know. I feel that way every time. February was our 6-year anniversary. Fucking woohoo. It's been a while. Yeah, I don't know what you boys brought.
Did you say 6 years?
February will be year 6.
Good that seems Lord. Not accurate.
2018?
Yeah, it's messed up.
That was episode 1.
Well, that's 5 years, eh?
Save me, Alex. It can't be 6.
I think it's 5, right?
2018?
2020? 2023.
February
is
going to
be
2024.
Oh! So that's it will right. be year 6.
Oh, no!
So cool. Yay. All right. Great. Look
You're
at us.
You're never getting away. You're never escaping.
So Look I was going to do... I was going to do this week, I was going to bring back the Seven Rings of the Wraiths this week to continue our epic story, but I had something happen today to me that I wouldn't describe, I wouldn't describe it as paranormal, like right out the gate, but it was extremely fucking mysterious.
Okay, I'm in. You got me.
All right. So let's do it. I figured I would tell you guys this instead of... We'll get back to the stones, but this was so weird. So I recently had a pretty rough little set of days. I lost a good friend. I had some personal tragedies in my life. Like, I'm fine. Like, it's all good. But just in on the side of that, I was dealing with all these things, and it's been very heavy the past couple of days, like last week or two, right? And so I was excited because months ago on my birthday, Kelly bought me a trip to San Diego, where I'm going to go see a good band that I like, Islands, which we're doing a show with at the Terragram Ballroom the same weekend.
We're doing a show with. We're doing. We're like, yeah. It's us and them.
It's just one of those cosmic things. That's all I'm saying. It's just we're scheduled the same weekend as them in a month, and this month. I went and saw them for the first day of their tour, and we're doing a show the same weekend as them in the same venue on the last date of their tour. So that's pretty crazy. So that's nothing to do with this, but this is what was going on. So we stayed in the Airbnb, and I kind of forgot that I had my therapy appointment because it's like a little overnight trip in the middle of the week. So before I drove back, and for some reason I imagined I would be here by 11 when I have my therapy appointment. And so I didn't end up doing that. So I was like, oh, I forgot about my therapy appointment. Kelly, why don't you go for a walk around San Diego near the waterfront for an hour? And I'll just like, once we check out of the Airbnb, I'll like park my car kind of like on the side of the road and just kind of like do my therapy appointment from my car, which I've done before when I've been out of town or whatever. Because I just always kind of try and keep the appointment if I can. So here I am. I'm sitting on the side of the road. I had like 30% battery, which should have got me through it because my phone was plugged into my car, fully plugged into my car. So I do like about 10 minutes of the therapy. There's no sign of my phone I don't get any sort of, you know, if you have an iPhone, you get like an alert at 20% and you get an alert at 10% when your battery goes down. I didn't get either of these alerts. And I was just talking about my week and how I was happy to be on vacation and whatnot. And out of nowhere, my car turns off. My phone turns off. And for a second, for like maybe 10 seconds, actually, across the street at the intersection, the traffic lights turn off. And the traffic lights turn off for, like I said, about 10 seconds. I wasn't counting, but it didn't feel very long. They turn back on. I was able to turn my car. I was like shocked at first because I was like kind of realizing what was happening in order. And like I didn't try to turn my car on until after the lights were on anyway, but my car turned right back on. But when I went to turn my phone back on and get back into my therapy call, my phone was completely dead, completely drained of battery to the point that I had to connect it. Because, you know, when your phone just dies and you connect it back to the charger, it like kind of turns back on almost right away. But in this case, I had to wait about 12 to 13 minutes for my phone to charge enough for it to even turn back on. And I have no explanation. The one thing I wish that I like paid attention to or noticed, I have no memory of or recollection of seeing any cars other than my own that weren't parked and off. So the one thing that I wish I could say is that I saw anybody else's car turn off during, but nobody seemed alarmed anywhere on the street, or I saw plenty of people. I was parked right across the street from a park. In fact, let me pull up a map of San Diego, because I can tell you exactly what intersection I was at, just in case anybody listening can tell me what could have caused
got
like a fucking
like a weird EMP.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. What do you think happened, Alex?
What my therapist said. Okay, so I'm not crazy. I just explained what I was thinking, and at the end of my therapy appointment, I was like, "And by the way, sorry about that weirdness. I don't know what that was." And she was like, "Yeah, I don't know. It sounded like an EMP went off." And yeah, I was like, "That's what I was thinking." And so that's what I thought. And I'll tell you where I was exactly. So let me just zoom in on this map because I know pretty much exactly where I was. It was right across from Waterfront Park at the corner.
If you're out there, you live out that way, let us know if something happened to you.
Yeah, did you get EMP'd?
Yeah, I was on the corner of, I would say, Beach and Pacific. Like between Kettner and Pacific Highway on Beach Street in San Diego, right across the street, up the block a little bit from Portal Coffee, across from the Hampton Inn, in between the Hampton Inn and something called Stretch Lab or something.
All right.
Good somewhere in there. Something called Globe that just looks
Stretch
like a...
Lab.
Yeah, I don't know. That's where I was. I don't know what happened. I didn't feel like a shockwave or anything. I don't know what being in an EMP feels like, but I was fine. I didn't experience any sort of like lost consciousness or weird feelings.
No missing time.
Yeah, no, I know exactly how much time went by because I was like actually nervous because I was in the middle of a therapy appointment.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
So time was ticking down. So I was actually marking every minute that passed once I turned my car back on. But I was about, I don't know exactly how far I was in the appointment. It was about 10 minutes in. So I don't know what it was, but it was fucking crazy. And I have no explanation. My phone has died many times, but not at the same time as my car and the fucking traffic lights.
Yeah, it's the traffic lights that make me go, EMP? Like, if it was just your car, it could have been like, maybe it accidentally short-circuited the phone and took it down with it, like overcharged it as it went down. But like with everything going down, including the streetlights, I'm like, all right, somebody tested an EMP weapon on San Diego?
They were only down for 10 seconds, maybe. Like, maybe not even that. Maybe like 7 or 8, 5 seconds. I don't know. But it was shocking. I noticed they went off. I was like, oh my God, they're off. Like, they weren't like switching from green to red. They were off for enough time that it wasn't right.
You have thoughts on it, Jesse?
So this story to me sounds, and I'm trying to look it up now and really like, you know, give you some actual information. But so there's been stories in the past of sun things.
Oh, yeah.
Where, like the sun itself causes issues with computers and traffic lights. And so, like, that happens. Also, there's just naturally occurring EMPs. Mm-hmm. Like, there's an LEMP, which is a lightning electromagnetic pulse that exists. There's also electrostatic discharge. So it could be that where you were parked in that area, a discharge went off for some reason, hit you for a second, then everything turned back on. Like, it happens naturally. Like, I mean, I assume that's how we understood EMPs to begin with. We were like, how do we turn off the power all of a sudden? And that's how we went down that rabbit hole, maybe? I don't know.
It was crazy. I will say, I don't know enough about what's actively going on there at any given time, but I do know that there's a fair amount of, like, military presence in the area.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sure.
There's, you know, some touristy military stuff there, but also, like, I know there's, like, active, like, there was, like, a Coast Guard situation going on while we were there, actually. Like, I saw it, but I don't know what the fuck it was. I wasn't paying that much attention to my surroundings, I'll be honest, because I was, like, looking at my therapist's face in a phone call. But once everything turned off, I immediately looked around because I first just thought my phone died, and I was like, that's fucking weird. And then I realized my car was off, and then I realized the fucking light was off.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at it now. They're saying that, like I said, solar radiation is a huge cause of naturally occurring EMPs. And you're in San Diego. You're, like, as close to the sun as you can get, my man. So it's possible. I don't know.
That's wild either way. Like, even if that's what it was, that's cool.
I've never experienced anything like that. I had never any notion that I would see something like that. It felt like General Zod showed up, you know? Like, I have no fucking idea. I don't know why I'm, like, on the DC Comics thing today. But
don't worry about it. I'm going to take the General Zod and segue with it.
Okay.
So, do it. Speaking of aliens from other worlds.
Okay.
We have to talk about...
Segway.
Yeah, hey,
we have to
talk
about the Mexican Congressional Open UAP hearing from yesterday.
Yeah.
And all of the damage it did to all of the actual, like, research and stuff that's been going into it.
Multiple people have already asked me, like, guys,
yeah.
When's the Alien Bodies episode coming? This is huge.
Not coming. So, basically, what we got is some testimonies from people like Ryan Graves. I think Rush was there. There's a member from the Japanese Congress, I believe, also there. Some U.S. representatives or something. Anyway, everything was kind of normal, like we expect here in the U.S. ones. They showed some videos their military planes had captured. Other videos, they got testimony from Ryan Graves and a few others. And then someone comes up and he's like, not only do we have see the UFOs, we got bodies. And not only do we got bodies, I got pictures of the bodies. And he presents this photo of these, like, black caskets with these plaster-looking fucking, like, aliens.
They look, like, straight out of, like, Zelda. Like, they are, like...
It's bad.
They're, like...
He claims they're 1,000 years old.
They're, like...
The DNA testing was done on them. And that they are a mix of, like... They're, like... 30%
I don't know how many people were watching this live, but... The comments as it was being played live, like streamed everywhere, were like, dude, that looks like the salami I ate last week.
Literally, dude.
Hilarious.
Hey.
And so, you know, I got pointed out to this by Santel. So I was looking into it, and then I sent it to the Chiluminati chat last night. And me and Alex kind of did some deep diving on, like, who this person
dude,
is.
Dude, I
would know you sent that to me while I was streaming, and I got 36 messages. And I looked down, I was like, guys, I just got 36 messages from Mathis about... No, wait, hold on. It's Mathis and Alex. Okay, it's not bad. Mathis and Alex about... And I scrolled up and was like, alien bodies, bro! I was losing my mind. The stream
I was
evidence
on a roller
is there.
Coaster.
We were trying to figure it out. We were trying to figure out, like, where it was coming from. Because
I was,
like,
at dinner, like, telling Kelly, and she was like, shut up. She was, like, she was, like, grave. She was, like a... She said, like... She was, like, not ready to finish eating.
Bro,
she thought it was real.
It felt like a bomb drop. Come to find out, the person who's presenting them is like 70-year-old, known for, like, basically he's a journalist who's also a ufologist who's so lost in the sauce that he, like, goes on terrible shows.
They bring him on shows to laugh at this man. They bring
literally,
on, yeah.
And these bodies in particular were debunked in 2021 when lab results, like tests were done on them, x-rays and all this stuff. And it's an amalgamation of human bones and animal bones. And the reason the limbs
dude,
are
what
weird,
if that's what aliens are made
are,
of?
They are,
and we just
they
don't
are a
know.
Thousand years old. They are mummified. But whoever made them back in the day like put the bones on upside down, which explains why there's like some weird
aliens.
Things.
The bones aren't like our bones.
You can literally,
dude.
They tested the bones. They think like the skull may have been like a llama skull or something. Like,
what if aliens are llama skulled aliens, bro?
Oh, God, man. Oh, I mean, like, there's a 0.01% chance.
What if llamas are based off aliens?
Yeah, what if the llamas are aliens, dude?
They were like, we're almost there. We're almost perfect. Flip these fucking bones around. Get the bones from this guy. Put them in there. Yeah. Dry them. Get a little bacteria on.
Do you saw that Ryan Graves tweet?
Yeah, shout out to Hilda, friend of the pod. Paleo Pines, available very soon. Check it out.
I mean, Ryan Graves put into words exactly how I felt about the whole thing last night.
Check this out. After the U.S. congressional UFO hearing, I accepted an invitation to testify before the Mexican Congress, hoping to keep up the momentum of government interest in pilot experiences with UAP. Unfortunately, yesterday's demonstration was a huge step backwards for this issue. My testimony centered on sharing my experience and the UAP reports I hear from commercial and military aircrew through ASA's witness program. I will continue to raise awareness of UAP as an urgent matter of aerospace safety, national security, and science, but I am deeply disappointed by this unsubstantiated stunt.
This is insane that this guy was allowed to present it. It's insane that people took him seriously. It's insane nobody did their due diligence on the man. And it's like, good, you're the reason that I hate everything about this. Like, yeah, it just
and if this is news to you, you're fucking welcome.
And the best part is, the UFO subreddits are eating it up like fucking hot chocolate being poured down their gullets with a splash of milk. They don't give a shit. They just want to eat it and drink it and just believe it when it is like so obviously, oh, Lord. Anyway,
Mathis
so
is
there you
some
go.
Hot chocolate, you guys. We need to get Mathis,
you know,
a big old cup.
I don't know why that came to my mind. I don't have any hot chocolate anywhere.
That's what
but...
you need right now after last night, dude. I was on a roller coaster ride.
That sucks so much. It's like everything you feared was going to happen in the congressional hearings here in the U.S., but except it happened out in the... I'm like, no, man, no. The good thing is I don't think any media in the U.S. fucking picked it up at all. And let's hope it stays that way.
I think it was pretty much immediately disprovable that you like had a good research. Yeah.
I'm like, what are you doing? What are you doing? Oh, God.
I don't even know. Like, that's the conspiracy is how, if it's real, if it's like a smokescreen, you know, because like, how did that dude get in front of like this? How did he get this gig?
He's been on multiple shows where they are brought on, like you said, to laugh at the man. You don't have to do much research.
That's what I'm saying. And he's like on those shows, like doubling down on these like horrible CG videos. Like, it's crazy. Like, I don't know. How did he get in? That's what I would like people to...
How did he
I don't
get
speak
through?
Spanish, so I can't like read deep into this like the way that I want to. But somebody, let us know. r/Chiluminati Pod. How did this guy get in front of all of these people? How did he get this stage for this kind of stunt? He brought
in front of Congress.
He brought alien bodies in front of the Mexican Congress, bro.
What is like the government? I'll be honest. I don't know much about the governmental situation in Mexico at the moment.
Yeah, me.
What is not? I mean, is he? It's can not, he like hobnob his way up there?
From what I read, it's not functioning that well. Like the fact that this was kind of a not well done event was kind of like kind of symbolizes that. It's but like the article pointed out, it's not about the people in Mexico who should have these jobs who aren't working these jobs and getting these good things happening in, you know, for UFO disclosure and stuff like that. It's not a knock on those people who should be working these jobs. It's a knock on the way that the Mexican government's running right now, where the people who should be doing these jobs aren't being given them because the government's just not working properly. A shame.
You can spend 5 minutes on the internet and find out everything you need to know about the person who's going to be presenting alien bodies. Then the government should at least spend those 5 minutes and do that same research.
Like that, like, just think from a safety stance. Just from a safety standpoint,
as a government body, like yes,
like
you
you're gonna
do
unearth
research on these people.
You're gonna unearth an alien corpse in Congress. Like, can we at least scan it? Can we at least like?
I don't think he brought the corpses, didn't he? I thought he just brought the pictures of them.
I thought he brought them to Congress. Am I wrong?
My understanding was, again, it might be lost in translation. My understanding was he brought pictures and videos of them. But maybe I'm misunderstood as well.
I thought
either
my
way,
dude was,
it
doesn't,
if
was
he brought
them,
even worse. Even worse. If he brought them physically, even worse. Like, that doesn't help the cause.
Yeah. He brought them. He brought them.
Oh, my God.
They were there in the room. They were in glass cases. So maybe that's why they didn't scan him. But, Like, if you're going to open, like, a biomaterial that's supposedly from another planet in front of your entire Congress, don't you think there should be some sort of diligence done?
Well, if everybody in that area, that room, dies under mysterious disease circumstances, maybe
Look,
it's real.
It ain't going to happen. But no. I'm just saying, like, how did... Like, the thing that I would be investigating is how he got this opportunity.
Yeah,
because
that's exactly what I want to know.
I'm looking for it right now, and I honestly can't find it. What's even crazier is when you look... So there's a photo I'm looking at right now. Is the size of these things versus a human.
They're tiny, right?
And they're little, tiny.
They're like my dog. My dog Wallace was like 20 pounds. He was like, you think he's big, and then you see a picture of me next to him, and he's like a can of Monster Energy next to me.
Yeah, yeah, these are tiny.
Yeah. Mm. And I can give you the link of the video here. This is them debunking this in 2021. I'll put the link here. But you can hear the guys talking about it. They're looking at the bodies. You have very up close looks at these things. And they just talk about what these things are made of.
I mean, literally one of them is half the size of a hand. Or a hand is half the size of it. Like, they're so tiny. Nah.
It's a fucking...
Like, the legs, like, even in the beginning, they're like, one of the legs' bones is actually a femur. Like, they just did the bones wrong.
Chicken wing jerky, bro.
Like, seriously. And it was not only that, it was facing upside down. And then the other leg, the bone in the same spot is a tibia bone.
Yeah.
So they got the pemmican snowman, they mismatched the bones. They didn't know what the fuck... Yeah, exactly. Like, it's so obviously fucking...
That's the beef scarecrow, dog.
The best comment is the first one on here. My first thought was, these look like aliens, so I highly doubt they're aliens, which is so good. Such a great comment of like, of course they wouldn't be real.
That's the golem.
It looks exactly like we'd expect. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, Jesse, take us out of here with something a little bit more grounded.
I got you. So, hey, if you're on the internet, if you're on social media, and you've seen anything on TikTok or Instagram or Facebook or wherever, you probably have come across someone manifesting.
Oh, baby, yeah.
The concept of attracting cosmically success to yourself.
Like the secret.
The secret, chaos magic, same idea.
Yeah. You're manifesting it. You're like vision boarding the whole thing.
Magical
thinking.
Yeah. Well, turns out in a brand new study, people who think they can get anything they want simply by imagining it are more likely to go bankrupt.
It's because they throw their trust into the universe to catch them. It's like them saying, Jesus, take the wheel.
That sounds like me. You know, I get that. I empathize with that.
For the study, researchers measured...
It should just say people easily scammed are easily scammed.
Well, and this isn't about easily scammed. This is just people who are... I'll get this is it's pretty fun.
Yeah, okay.
For the study, the researchers measured the manifestation beliefs of 375 people. They were asked to rate on a 7-point scale how much they agreed with statements such as, I attract success into my life with the help of the universe or higher power, my soul, spirit, or higher power self helps me attract success, and the universe or a higher power sends me people and events to aid my success. Their answers were then analyzed along with their finances. For every 1 point people scored higher on the manifestation scale, they were 40% more likely to have experienced bankruptcy and about 30% likely to have investments in cryptocurrency.
It's
not more likely to have invested in stocks, which is super interesting. So stock market they won't buy into, which is a good way to make money if you're going to like... gamble your money away.
It's a good place to put your money that makes sense.
Yeah, it's a good future proof.
Yeah.
Just
don't day trade.
You might lose some cash, but if you're smart and you go, like, you can make some money. Crypto, not so much.
If the higher you're willing to, like, bet it all at the end, because that would be, like, a sick way for your movie about your life to end, like, then that's bad.
Dude, that's like, if you're, that's like, not if you're real. On the verge of spending your life money on like one single thing, an NFT or whatever it is, I beg you, take that money instead and go invest in index funds, the S&P 500, and then ignore it for 10 years. And then come back.
The researchers also found, and this goes to what you're saying, researchers also found that people who had more manifestation on this index were likely to be drawn into risky investments. Yep. And it was all about getting rich quick. The idea of I'm going to manifest the economy rather than work for it, rather than wait 20 years for your stocks to, you know, make you money.
Sure. Yeah.
You need to, you're like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to make this money now, which is what you're saying. Like, there's a lot of stocks. If you want to risk the biscuit, you can.
Oh, God.
You can get some crazy stocks.
Go to subreddit and go enjoy watching people gamble.
It's just crypto. It's just
day trading is legal.
Trying to pretend it's like legit. It's so crazy.
That's why index funds and shit are boring as hell. But you spread your investment over like 1,000 companies, so you're always on average going to end up in the positive. Even if a couple of years you go negative, on average it'll eventually go back up.
Yep. I mean, that's what retirement funds are for.
When do we get the Acorns brand deal?
Yeah.
I mean, if they want it, I'm in.
Yeah, where's the Acorns brand deal at, man? I want to invest some money. I'm tired of being bankrupt.
According to Lewis Dixon at the University of Queensland, Australia, in our studies, we define manifestation as the belief that if you send out your desires to the universe through positive thoughts, visualization, or acting as if goals have already come true, like writing a pretend check to yourself, the universe will deliver what you desire. Manifestors seem to be overly optimistic, believing they are more likely to be successful in the future, in shorter time frames, and overestimate the odds of success.
I very much studies, am curious. Sorry, go ahead.
No. What's up?
How much of it is, like, how much of the manifestation culture is U.S.-centric?
Oh.
Well, this is in Australia. This is taking place in Australia.
Cool. Oh, that's fucking awesome to know.
I bet the numbers are way more dire here.
Yeah, honestly, it feels a lot like...
Because America has the attitude of, I'm not a millionaire yet. Yeah. Like, that's everybody's attitude.
It feels like, and I'm going to say this, and, you know, my apologies to my white people out there, but this feels like a white person thing. Especially the whole idea of I'm gonna manifest. It's like stealing from, like, I went to India once and I came back changed. It has like that vibe to it. It's like we never really open ourselves up to the universe, and my chakras are finally aligned.
You don't have to go to India for that, everybody. Spoilers, you can just take mushrooms.
It's that type of Christianity vibe that's like not that Christian. It's like just kind of like hanging out and not swearing.
Prophet Bible or whatever it is, like Olstein and shit preach.
The seed sowing bit.
Yep.
That a lot of like the televangelists are like, if you just give me all your money, God will return it tenfold. And it's like, bro, save that money. Don't give it to that man. You're going to go broke.
Acorn.com. Yeah. Hashtag ads.
Our studies.
Go ahead.
In our studies, we define manifestation. Hold on. I think I accidentally doubled this. All right, anyway. And then he just ends that given the value of crypto and its massive gains over a short period of time, we think it's fascinating that people want to use this to get rich quick. It helps these manifestors have a stronger belief that this is the way to go. So it just reinforces when they see people make a bunch of money on crypto, it reinforces the idea like, oh, if I had just manifested that, I could make that happen, which is like...
Folks, just think about this when you consume all media and marketing, please. As somebody who does advertising sometimes for larger brands and hear how they think behind the scenes, like, just keep this type of stuff in mind, please.
They prey on that shit. This idea of, like, getting rich quick. I mean, everybody who's made money in NFTs have already made their money. It's done. The people, because it's unregulated...
And let's be very clear. The people who made their money were people who were rich to begin with.
Correct.
You did not see any NFT like, I was broke and I made a fortune. That's BS. And anyone, even in crypto, anyone who's like, I made $30 billion in crypto,
you had to cast
that's because they were already a millionaire to start with.
Yeah. How much did you put in, you know?
Yeah.
Right. And I've watched somebody who invested heavily in crypto lose like half of it overnight.
It happens all the time.
Yeah. It's the boring option, but index funds, man, that's where it's at. Just like be boring, prepare for your 50s, and then you can enjoy it.
Hey, let me just give you the hot tip. Just get an MMA account. Like go to your bank and ask them to open another savings account. Go ask for an MMA account and ask them what's up. It's 3% interest maybe, but it's a solid 3%. And if you keep putting money in it, It keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger.
It's
not
glamorous. Compound interest.
It's not glamorous. It's not easy. It takes a long time.
Money, you have to market account, kids. Look it up.
You have to think about years ahead in your life. I know it's not fun. I know it's boring. Just think about it. It's so easy to just take. Like, you love playing fucking 4X fucking video games simulating the economy of an entire fucking galaxy.
Exactly.
I know you understand the shit.
Four times speed, though.
Yeah.
I know you four times speed.
Even if you do, that's what I'm fucking saying. That means you're a genius. Just take a second and apply it to your own life. I know there's not cool graphics. I know there's not anything else. Just think about this when you're watching all commercials. Just think about this when you're watching all commercials.
Anything you're like, I want that. If you or take anything where there's need that.
Where there's a chance for something to happen, think about that. Every time you think about that, think about every time you see any sort of thing that there's a chance, an increased chance for something to happen. Just think about that.
Those are the people who probably fall for like the Mr. Beast posts that are scam accounts on YouTube. Like, click here for your free iPad.
You earned this.
Also, just like anytime someone says something is up to, you can save up to 40% off.
Yeah.
Up to 40%. Well, what is it? You know?
That could be like one.
Always be aware. Be aware. That's all we're saying. Stop manifesting.
They're not your friends.
Start I don't know.
Do a festing.
Focusing.
Do it yourself.
Do a festing.
Stop manifesting. Start, man, I'm fasting. I'm working on myself.
We'll workshop. We'll workshop.
Yeah. I'm working on myself. I'm fasting.
It's tough. Yeah. It's tough.
Man, I'm feasting on the fruit of my investments.
There we go. There we go.
Man, I am feasting. That's better than manifesting.
That sucks.
Listen, Bean Boy would invest, all right?
Bean Boy
would invest.
Bean Boy follows the rules.
The vaping counterpart, he would be an NFT man.
Bean Boy's edgy, but he follows the rules. He's a forward thinker. He tries stuff, you know? He messes with the paradigm, but he follows the rules.
He invested in Legal Nugs way before anyone else. He was smart.
He's smart and rich now, individual.
Yeah. He grows a single origin joint weed for a company in Humboldt, California, and he's doing great now. Some of his investors are not savory, but you know, he's trying to get rid of those ones. He's trying to buy those
guys
out.
He's doing his best. He's got to work with the market he's got.
Yeah. California's a competitive market for this shit. Yeah.
Well, did you see MedMen change their name?
What?
They're now Buds.
They were like, how about Buds?
they just, after like 3 years of being MedMen.
Cool.
All right. Thank you guys so much.
They're
for
like,
supporting
dude,
us.
Mad Men went off the air like years ago. Dude. All right, I'm sorry. Like, oh, I keep making this episode keep going.
But what are we, Buds?
You just see the smoke. All right, we're up. Off until next week. We'll be back with another minisode for you and a brand new Jesse-led episode next week, which I'm very excited for.
And the return of the Rings and the Seven Rates.
Go buy tickets. Link below to our October 15th live show. Goodbye.
Bye.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.